Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here for VideoCopilot.net, and welcome again to a very exciting tutorial. And I say again because we have never actually had a very exciting tutorial, but this time is different. Today, we're actually going to be creating some cool stuff. So, let's jump right in. Here's what we're going to be creating. So, it's a few different things. Mainly, we're going to be focusing on this breaking up of the letters. And in this other example that you may have seen on the website, what's happening is the layers have been broken up into pieces and are sort of scattering to come together. Now, we're not going to actually be doing this example, but we're going to show you everything you need to know to create this. And again, a more elegant, almost glass-like reveal right there. So the idea is to break the layer up into multiple pieces, multiple chunks, and control them so that they can come together. Now, it's done through a pretty simple process, and we're going to be using some cool scripts and expressions, which, as you know, are very easy and you love them. Now, I was going to do this tutorial a while ago, but I was sick and it just didn't seem to go away. So I went to the doctor and he basically checked me out. You know, I told him what I did. I said, yeah, I make these video tutorials. He didn't know what I was talking about. Anyway, I said, yeah, I need to be able to talk clearly. And so he actually checked me out and went on to tell me that I was going to die and that I probably should just go ahead and record as much as I possibly can. I said, wow. So I went home, distraught, really. I packed up all my things. I gave it away to friends and relatives. I told them what was happening, and they couldn't believe it. I mean, they were happy to get the stuff, obviously, but they were in shock. And then a couple of hours later, the doctor calls me back, says, hey, just kidding about earlier. You're fine. Things look like they're clearing up. We'll see you next week, whatever it was. And I guess I was happy, and I was going to live. That's always good. So I called up all my friends and family. I said, hey, listen, I'm okay, but I need to get my stuff back. And I tell you what, you'd think they'd be happy to know I was going to be all right, but I'll tell you something. You're better off just keeping your stuff you're better off just not dying, actually. Actually, most of that story isn't even true. Just the real situation why I couldn't record the tutorial wasn't nearly as interesting, so I made that up. Moving on though, let's go ahead and what are we doing here? First thing we're going to do, create a new composition. And we'll go ahead and use the D1 widescreen at 24 frames per second, 10 seconds long, and we'll choose OK. We'll go ahead and switch back to the standard user interface color. Just looks better on black and it's easier on my eyes. And what we have is a still image from our monster comp. And we'll take a look at actually creating this in a little bit. But first, let's take a look at actually fracturing this image. Now, it's a multi-step process, and you have to kind of follow it. But it's pretty cool, and it's pretty versatile. So what we're going to do is pre-compose. So if you take a video or a layer, anything, just go ahead, pre-compose it first thing. And we'll call this our shot. Move all attributes, choose OK. And the next thing, we're going to take the pen tool, and this is the fun part. You basically just randomly draw lines through the video and, and then you can actually just make some adjustments to it so that the pieces are somewhat evenly spaced. Be careful about really small pieces. You don't want pieces that are really small because it just gets a little complicated. But anyway, you want to fracture it similarly to this, but you can cut it up as much as you want. And the next thing you want to do is hit M, and that brings up our mask, and we're going to duplicate that mask. So edit, duplicate, and we'll invert it. So now we've brought our image all back except for this fine line, which we'll address in a moment. And what we want to do is go into the mask controls and set the expansion to -1.5. We'll hide the masks for a moment. And 1.5 for the second. So what we've created is basically holes all around these chunks. And the idea is to make the alpha of each chunk non-contiguous with any other part of the image. So basically, we should be able to draw a line around each part. And once we do that, then we can use the fancy auto trace tool. Click on that, and we have a few options. I've already set it up, but you're going to want to play around with the settings. If you turn the preview on, you can see what it's going to look like. And these settings work really well. Make sure you're on the alpha channel, and then we're going to choose OK. And what it's going to do is create a whole bunch of masks for each of those shapes. And because each shape is contiguous, each one of these masks is going to represent each chunk. So I'll go ahead and take the top two layers here. We'll go ahead and delete those. And then I'll take our other layers, hold down Shift, select the last layer, and set it to Add. And that way we're adding it back in. But we also want to get rid of the hole. So hit MM and set the expansion to about 3. And that way the layers essentially overlap and they cover over each other. Now, you don't necessarily have to do this. Sometimes it looks cool to actually have the gaps in the image, but for what we're doing, we're going to go ahead and fill the gaps. Kind of like when you're watching a tutorial and I totally skip over some part and you have no idea what I'm doing, you can just, fill in the gaps. Moving on. Now, what we need to do is take each mask and separate it into its own layer. So each layer is its own piece. But that could take a very long time, especially if you have a lot of pieces. So we have a great script we're going to be using, and it's going to be part of this download project. What you need to do to run the script is select the layer with all the masks, choose File, Scripts, Run Script File, open up the Masks to Layer JavaScript, and choose Open. It takes a second, and it automatically creates a whole bunch of layers from each of those masks. And it takes your original shot and shuts it off, so it's not even on anymore. And that's basically what the script is going to do. But we want to animate this and control it in a very dynamic way. So right now we have the layers, but animating them would be kind of a pain to do them all manually and individually. So instead of doing that, I'm going to go ahead, step back a moment. I'm going to delete all those layers that we just created. I'm going to take our original, turn it back on, and before I run that script, I'm going to create an adjustment layer. And this is going to be our control layer. By the way, to rename layers, hit return or enter on the main keyboard. Okay. So effect, expression, controls, slider, control. We want to add a controller for the random position. So we'll type enter, position, and we'll add another one, effect, expression, control, slider, control, and we'll call this rotation. And we'll make one more and we'll call it random. And I'll explain that in a little bit. So these are our main controls, and let's go and set it up with this layer. So make sure you make the layer a 3D layer, and then hit P, hold down Shift, and then hit R. So we bring up the position and the rotation, and on the control layer, hit E, and we're going to show the random rotation and position values. Now we're going to Alt-click on the position stopwatch. That brings up the expression control here, and we're going to type value, and that just takes the current value, and we're going to type plus, and we're going to make an array. So bracket, comma, 0, comma, 0, comma, 0. And what this says is value plus 0 for x, 0 for y, and 0 for z. Now, instead of 0 for the last value, we're going to type something else. So say 500. You can see the position changes as we change that value. But instead of making it a number, we're actually going to do a random expression using the wiggle. So what we're going to type is wiggle, parentheses 0, comma, and what we want to do for the value is actually pick whip the position slider. And that adds a bunch of code. Make sure you don't move the cursor, and then you're going to type end parentheses. Now, in order to make this work, we need to type bracket 2 close the bracket. So that's going to make it so we have one value created, and that value is then added to the z value. Now, for a little bit more information on expressions, check out the tutorial page and click on expressions. And you can check out the tutorials that deal with expressions, and there's a lot of good ones there. Frankly, you should watch all of the tutorials, because even if you're not interested in a specific subject, there's always helpful tips and things that you should know. So back to our main project. What I'm going to do is now go to the rotation, the Y rotation, because we want it to rotate like that. I'm going to Alt-click on the rotation, and this is easier. We just type wiggle, parentheses 0, comma, and then we just pick with the rotation, and then we close it, and then we can click away. So that's all we write for that. Now, the other thing we want to link up is the random value, and this way we can dynamically control the randomness. And to do that, we're going to go into each one of these, and we're going to type seed random, and remember, it's all case sensitive, seed random, parentheses, and we're going to pick whip that value. So whatever that slider value is what's going to go here. And we're going to type plus index, and close the parentheses, and we click away. And we go and copy this line, copy, and paste it to the top of this line. So just so you make a little space, and we'll paste it there. So hopefully you can see all of our fancy code. Pretty straightforward, but that's what we got to do. Now, we take the layer, and we're going to run our mask script. Script, run script, make sure the layer is selected. Select the script and choose open. And that creates all of our layers. Things are looking good. I'm actually going to shut off the masks, and we're going to create a background layer. So new solid, we'll make it black. We'll add a ramp, generate ramp. We'll pick a few colors here. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. I hope you guys are ready to learn. You have to be motivated to learn. That's how you learn, according to my teacher, who, frankly, was never really that motivating. Anyway, we take our background layer here, move that to the bottom, and what we're going to do is see about our expressions. So we want to make sure they work. So what I'm going to do is play around with the position value here. Actually, before I do that, we're going to make a new camera. And we'll choose OK. And we'll even make a new light. We'll just make a point light, 100% intensity. We'll make it white. We don't want to cast shadows. And we'll choose OK. And we can move that light back a little bit. Now let's go to the control layer. And we're going to adjust the position. So if we increase the position randomness, the layers are going to start sliding into Z space. And that's what we want. So we create this really dynamic animation simply by keyframing this one value. Now, the rotation works the same, randomly rotates, and we can really create some interesting looks. So let's start animating and seeing what we can come up with. So I'll go and set a keyframe for the position and rotation. I'll move forward maybe 2 seconds or so, and we'll reset it or set it to 0. And that's just going to make it so that the values animate from whatever they are down to 0. Now we can take these keyframes, choose Easy Ease, and that way they'll be smooth as they come into themselves. Now we can take our keyframes here and choose Easy Ease. And that way it's a nice, smooth, gradual animation. And here we can just make adjustments. So instead of any rotation, we'll just increase the position offset. And now we see that's what happens. But what if we wanted something different? This isn't, this piece is just in the wrong place. Well, this random control allows us to randomly pick a seed that we want to use. So if you can't find something you're looking for, just keep adjusting that until you get a random look that you want. So that's very powerful, and something I thought would be good to build in. So we'll go ahead and set it maybe to 1. We'll see what that looks like. And the other thing we need to do is create another light. Now I'm going to go ahead and turn the rotation up so that we can see what's happening here. And in fact, we'll make the position offset 0. So we're actually just going to be rotating it in. And what I'm going to do is take a light and duplicate it. Edit, duplicate. And I'm going to move it behind the main layer. And you see how it shuts off because it's behind the layer here. And we're going to go ahead and hit AA. Brings up the controls for 3D layers or lights. And we're going to make it an orange color. And we'll turn it up really bright. So you can see the orange is bleeding in on these layers that are facing that direction. And the good thing about that is it adds the depth so that when they close down, you no longer see it. But if we adjust the position of this light just right, I'm just moving it on the Z. I can just hit P. We can adjust it right here even. Maybe negative 0.5. 0.5. And we can, you know, turn the value down. It doesn't need to be that intense. But the idea is to just give you a little bit more depth by adding that extra layer of light. And the other thing we can do is, you know, make another light, maybe put it on the other side, make it blue. But, you know, I'll let you guys play around with that. So just play around with the lighting. It's a cool way to get some interesting effects. Also, camera, AA, turn on the depth of field. And maybe we'll offset the layer's position a bit. Now, our depth of field is going to be a nice way to add, you know, some interesting blur to this. So if we turn that up, you can see the layers blur out. And as they come together, we need to set the focus distance. So just adjust that until you get that about right. And that way the layers, you know, just go out of focus. And as they come together, we'll turn up the rotation. As they come together, you know, they can create an interesting look. Now, the one thing about this particular method is that it's essentially using the rotation for the center of each chunk. So if I select a layer, I'll turn the mask back on here. If I select one of the layers, you can see the anchor point is at the center of that layer. And the reason why is because the script automatically did it that way. But what about the original example I showed you? Let's see, it's called Shift, where the layers are actually rotating around the center, this point, and then they're coming together. So here you can see we have you know, a couple of lights. We have sort of an orange-green light, and we have a blue light, and that adds the different layer of depth here. And you can just see how I cut that particular layer up. And the shadows are also on for that particular comp, which I can show you that in just a moment. But anyway, the layers are rotating around the center. And the reason they are is because the original layer has the anchor point in the center. So to adjust that, I'm just going to delete all of the copies. And what we need to do is go into our script editor. And we're going to open that script that we just downloaded. And select it and choose OK. And the script has a bunch of lines of code, a bunch of crazy stuff. But the main thing you want to look at is right here. Want to move anchor point to mask? No. So we're going to type false. And what that's going to do is leave the anchor point alone. So go ahead and save the script. It's okay if you mess it up. You can just re-download it from the site. I've already had to do that several times during this tutorial, in fact. What we'll do is select that layer once again, turn it on. Select it, we'll choose File, Script, Run Script, select that same script, Open, and then we can check out the animation. And we'll shut off the position adjustment. So that's 0. Instead, the layers are just rotating around that center point. And here we can turn that value up to just kind of create a lot of overlapping and craziness. So that's, you know, the idea here. We can adjust the random seed here so that, you know, it just does different things every time. And maybe we want to turn on the motion blur. So if we take all the layers here, turn on the motion blur switch, turn on the motion blur switch for the comp, and then you have some nice blur as the layers, you know, go swinging around. And we can take a quick look at that. Let's see. Zero. So you can see it's just a cool way to create some random movement. Gives your titles a little bit more life. Speaking of titles, you're probably wondering what this Angry Monsters 2 is. Well, it's just a little movie project I've been working on. It's actually not a sequel, but I thought if it's part 2, people will think that, you know, there was an original and that it was good enough to make a sequel. And people will think it's actually good, which it's not, but... Now, the one other thing I did to add a little bit more life to this kind of an animation is to adjust and animate the camera also. So if we hit P, R, A, we can animate the camera and, you know, create an interesting way to come into this animation. So if we were to animate the camera in, you know, an interesting way, it, you know, spins and does something wild and abstract. So definitely play around with the camera. It's a good way to, you know, lead this illusion in. So now that we've got the whole concept underway, which hopefully you'll see, it's actually pretty straightforward. We're going to actually take a look at creating something a little bit more specific. So what we're going to do is take a look at that that initial example of the monster movie graphic where the title comes in by itself. We have the smashdown and then flies out. So pretty basic stuff, but, you know, just a fun example of creating some graphics. So, let's create a new composition, and we'll go and use the same settings. We'll call this movie comp, and we'll choose OK. And there's a few steps to this, so hopefully we can knock this out. What we're going to do is take the text tool, and we're going to type, what was the movie called again? Angry Monsters. Okay, I didn't actually write the script. I'm working on it, though. All right. Angry and Monsters. Good. And then we'll go ahead and increase the angry so that it's about the same size as the monsters. And we can bring the spacing down a bit. And we'll go ahead... scale it up about there, and then we'll also take the text tool and we'll type 2, and we'll scale that up so that the 2 is just about the size like that. Now, these graphics were sort of borrowed from the disc art for our upcoming product, Action Essentials 2, which is a collection of action stock footage and all that good stuff. So I just sort of took the layout and made up some movie and this whole story idea that I was actually working on a movie when really I had nothing to do with it. But I did put this little arrow here that says aim away from face. And it's funny because it's going to be on a DVD box. And, you know, it's kind of like a joke. You know, people are going to look at that and they're going to, oh man, they're going to laugh. Hopefully. Okay, back to After Effects. So that's what that is. We're going to take the two layers and pre-compose them. So we'll choose layer, pre-compose, move all attributes. And then we're going to go into that comp, alt, double-click, or just double-click if you're in After Effects CS4. And what we're going to do actually is change this comp to call it title. Now, the reason I use After Effects CS3 is because I want to make sure that the most amount of people can, you know, follow along with the tutorial in the same manner that I am. And, you know, CS4 is a little bit newer and not everyone is upgraded yet, so I just want to clarify that. I mean, you know, I could call Adobe right now and they would send somebody over with, you know, the new version. He'd come and install it for me. That's the kind of pull I have down at Adobe. Actually, none of that is true. I called them one time and they didn't even know who I was. You know, I asked for the product manager. They just said no and told me never to call back. So that's that. So where were we? We're building this text. And what we want to do is add a little bit of color. So we'll take the two and we'll just change it to a gold color here. And our angry text should actually be more like white or gray. Yeah, that's about good. So that's good. And we'll move this over to the center. Center that up a bit. And we're in business. Now, we'll close that. And here we have the title. And what we want to do is add a texture. So I have a texture here from our Riot Gear collection. And what that means is we have a very cool product called Riot Gear. And it has textures and animated ink drops and paint and all these cool elements. $49, not too bad. But I'm using a texture from that collection. However, you can pretty much use any texture, you know, that you want from the internet, whatever. But, you know, it's also not a bad idea to, you know, support the site and also get some cool stuff while you're at it. So we have a texture here called Grunge Gray 12, and we're going to bring that out. And it's got some cool noise, and we're going to put that on top of the title. And then we're going to take the title, hit F4, and we're going to change the track mat to Luma Mat. So instantly we have a cool kind of grunge look. Now I'm going to add a curves adjustment to the texture, and basically I'm going to brighten the texture up so that the mat gets a little bit more filled in and I can make it a little bit sharper. And the cool thing is I can actually, even though the layer is off, I can move it around and you know, get it to look right. So here's a tip that sometimes people, you know, mess up on, is you want to make sure that the first letter is readable. So you want to be careful not to have weird chunks taking out key edges of the first letter. Otherwise, things are hard to read. People will look at that and it'll actually take a little longer to read. Back to it. So we've added a bit of a distressed look. We're actually going to double precompose it. So we're going to take the two layers here, choose layer, precompose, and we'll call this title distressed, and choose OK. And so we've got our title, and now we've got this other great image, and it's down here, and I will be including it in the project file, and it's just this metal background, and this is actually a combination of things, and it's a texture rendered in a 3D program with sort of a reflection and a bump map and, you know, just a little bit of work, you know. I try to make these tutorials high quality. Okay, now back to the angry monsters. What we now are going to do is take the metal texture, bring it out, hit F4. We're going to make it a 3D layer. And we'll go ahead and we'll move the center anchor point to the very top. And this is going to be important in just a moment. And then what I'm going to do is take that layer and move it down to the center. So if you bring up the title safe, you can see where the center is. So we're going to just line it up right there. We're going to duplicate the layer, Control D. We're going to rotate it, and then we'll rotate it on the Z axis so we have a top layer. And now we're going to make it look more 3D. So the way we're going to do that is duplicate it again. And this time we're going to change it to red so we can see the difference. And we're going to take this one and we're going to rotate it flat. So hold down shift so that it rotates perfectly flat. I'll go ahead and create a camera just so you can see what we've done here. I've just taken that layer and laid it flat. And then I'm going to duplicate it. So the red one, there's two copies of the red one, two copies of the lavender one. I wasn't sure what color that was, so just looked it up there. Good thinking. We'll go ahead and move this down below. And what I'm going to do is parent the metal flat layer to, so if I right-click, show parent, it's that column. This column just takes up a lot of space, so I have to hide it. And then we'll take the red layer and parent it to the lavender layer. And again, we'll take the red layer and parent it to the lavender layer. So what we've done effectively is made it so that I can move the section here up, and it's kind of like a, you know, some sort of metal machine that's used to crush bones or possibly used to crush robots from the future. I didn't know how I was going to work that in, but that actually worked out quite nice. If you guys remember, I get all excited about movies. Remember, Terminator 1, at the end, he's like, I don't know, he doesn't even have legs at this point, and he's crawling along trying to kill Sarah Connor, and she does the she pushes the button, and the thing just kind of gives him the old crush, and that paves the way for Terminator 2. This has got to be the worst tutorial I've ever made. But that's okay, because the next tutorial I make won't have to be very good, and it'll still be better than this one. So back to animating. So we'll take the lavender layer, and we'll go ahead, we'll hit P, and we'll set a keyframe, and we'll move back to the beginning here. And what we're going to do is move this layer up and out, and this layer down and out. So now we have this kind of crushing look, but we're sort of losing the edge. So we need to repeat that edge with a quick effect. So we call that motion tile. And we just drop that onto our red layer. And we'll mirror the edges and increase the width. So that 175 seems to do it. We'll copy that, paste it to the other red layer, and we'll set the mirror edges. For some reason, that doesn't copy over. So that way, here we have our crushing look, and looks good. Now, we do have kind of a harsh edge in the back, so we'll create a fake fall off with a linear transition. So I'm not sure if you can see that, but it's there. So we'll go ahead, turn that to zero, and we'll turn up the completion so you can see it's just kind of a transition, and we'll feather it out. And that way we have a soft edge, and then we can copy that and paste it to the other red layer. And unfortunately, we just have to redo the settings, and that looks pretty good. I don't think we're supposed to be crushing the logo, but, you know, that's one idea. Also, you can crush it, and then when it comes back open, it can say something else about the monsters. Now, in the original example, we have some sparks that shoot out, and I'll probably just skip the creation of that, because if you go to the old website, we've actually got a lot of tutorials on creating different kind of spark elements, like the speed particles and the energy, as well as the sparks title. Give you one clue what's in that tutorial. So definitely try to check out some of that other stuff and repurpose it. It's actually not a bad idea to mix concepts from other tutorials and create some cool stuff. So we'll skip that, but I will go ahead and paste the layer we created earlier. And by we, I mean myself. And we'll just go ahead and line that up with the smashing. And you can use particular, or you can use particle world. I actually just used particular, and the idea is just to emit a lot of particles in the first two frames and then keyframe it down to just a few, and then just a little bit of gravity, and there you go. So get a little explanation at least. So here's our sparks, and we're going to create a camera now. So new camera, and we'll choose OK. And what's going to happen here is we're going to look at this angry monsters comp, and then the title comes smashing down, sparks go flying, and then we fly past it. So what I'll do is we'll move our whole sparks metal thing, we'll move that down to the bottom. And we can actually turn on this shy switch and then turn on this button, and they'll just kind of hide themselves while we work. In fact, we might even just shut them off for the moment. Now, what we want to do is add our fracturing method to this title, but it's going to be a little bit difficult because we have some weird alpha. We have a lot of little edges and things. So what we'll do is we'll just open the comp, make a new solid, and it'll be easier if we make it the size of our text like that, and then we close it. And now all we have to do is take the pen tool and draw around this shape, and then we won't be dealing with weird masks. So with that in mind, let's just have some fun here. And there we go. So we'll hit M. I'm going to walk through the process one more time. We duplicate the mask. We set it to invert. We hit MM, and then we'll decrease the expansion to -1.5. and increase it on the second mask to 1.5. And we'll select the layer, choose Auto Trace, set it to alpha. These settings work well. We'll choose OK. Then we can delete the original two masks. Delete. Take our other masks, select them all, set it to add. Then we'll hit MM, and we'll set the expansion to maybe 3. Make sure all of our edges get filled in, and they are. We can go ahead and bring that down. And we need to copy our expression. Now, what I'll do is I'll just copy the control layer here, edit, copy, and paste it into here. And real quick, I'll just show you. We have three sliders, position, rotation, and random. And then I'll also just copy the expression that we wrote. So copy it from the position, copy, and take the position of, excuse me, take the position of that red solid. We'll hit P. Make sure it's a 3D layer, very important. Alt-click on the position, and then paste the expression. So, hide that. That's the expression we're going to need in there. And then, once again, we'll copy the rotation expression and paste it into the Y rotation. So, save us a little bit of time here as we get through this. Now, we go back into the title, Distressed, and we get rid of that red solid. Our layer is already cut up, and we don't need it anymore. So I'll take that layer, just like before. We'll choose File. Now, if we go back to the Script Editor, Open Editor, I'm actually going to turn that back to True. And that way, each chunk has the anchor point set to the center, and just for this particular instance. And we'll save. And go back, and we'll run that script, open, and now we've got all those layers. Our original is shut off, and that's good. We don't want to necessarily see that at the moment. And now we want to animate using the control layer. So hit E, we'll bring up the controls here, and for the first 2 seconds or so, we'll set a keyframe, and we'll take those, and we'll hit F9, so it's a nice easy ease. And then we'll just play around with the settings here. So just randomly, you know, move these so they, it's hard to see what it is, and then it comes together there at the end. And again, we'll move forward, so we'll pause for about 2 seconds, and then we'll let it animate out. And we'll just whoops. Well, that's okay. It's kind of cool. And maybe even add a little rotation to the beginning here. Probably some more position offset. So, very cool. And we can add that motion blur by taking the layers, turning on the motion blur switch. We can turn it on for the comp as well. And looks good. Now, just as it comes together, so right there at that point, we want to go ahead and make sure our metal contraption comes smashing down right at that point. So we'll shut off the motion blur just for a moment and make some more room down here. And we'll bring up the two lavender layers. And here we have the animation. Now we want to make sure these are linear so that it just kind of smashes down hard. So right at that point. It's actually almost perfect. So we'll shorten the animation so it comes down a little bit harder. And we may also move this up a little higher so that we don't see the edge of it. So we'll move this one also down a little bit more so we don't see the edge. So we probably want this, it looks like everything's kind of stopping right about here, so we'll move this over so that it lines up perfectly. And again, we want to move the sparks over too so that they also hit at the right time. Bam. And that's good. And again, actually, we want to animate this out. So 2 seconds go by, and just as it begins to animate out, we'll start animating this out. So we can just move this up. Sorry, take the lavender layer. move it up. And this layer will move it down. So that's the main idea. And now we have our camera. So if we move up here to our camera, we can... all right, we should probably use a null object, so I will do that. So we'll create a new null object, make it 3D, and we'll parent the camera to the null object. So we'll make sure we bring up our parenting, and we'll parent that to the null, and we'll call this cam control. Doesn't have to be named, just helps to keep things organized. And we'll start out by hit P on the cam control, and we'll just set a keyframe, and maybe, you know, just start it forward, and as it backs up, everything kind of comes down and smashes down, so that looks good. And just as it opens up, we also want to animate our camera forward. And that way it looks like we're going inside of this thing, and we can even make it a little bit quicker. F9 for the beginning of this, because we want it to be smooth as it goes out. And maybe make the camera go even further, you know, just past everything. Okay, we'll play that back. Okay, not too bad. There's one thing happening here, and the layers are intersecting a bit. And the way to fix that is by putting a two-dimensional layer between them. So if we make a new adjustment layer, we'll call this a divider, and we'll just stick that in between the sparks and those top comps, and those will not intersect anymore. So that's probably what we want. Now, the other thing we want to do here is add a little bit of color correction so that the background is a little darker. And so I'll go and just create a new adjustment layer. And we could probably add it to everything. So color correction curves. And I'll just give it a little bit of a contrast curve here. Also kind of makes it look a little bit more like metal. And the darker part of the image makes the text stand out a little bit more, so that's good. And I think in the other example I made just a quick background layer and put that into the back, so it just had a little bit of a gradient during the points when it's very dark. So if I brighten that up, you can kind of see, and that way we're not just looking at pure darkness. And maybe a glow on that point would be kind of cool. Now, you're probably wondering about the camera shake at the end. So in order to make this look like it's going to be strong enough to kill a robot from the future, we need to add some camera shake. So we'll take the movie comp here, and we're going to drop it, if we can find it, into a new comp. And we're going to make a null object. And we have a preset called AfterShake. And this is available from the website for free. Just pretty much download any project that uses the preset, so like this one, or just go to the presets and you can download the project from any preset. So download it, and it actually includes all of the Video Copilot presets. So there you go. Now, AfterShake. There's one called AfterShake Null, and that means you apply it to a null. And by default, the values are on, so you actually want to turn them down. Just the amount and the rotation. The speed is how fast it kind of shakes, and we'll set that to 8. We want a lot of shaking. And we'll go to the point just right before it smashes down, and we'll set the keyframe for the amount and rotation. And we'll move forward. We'll turn those values up. And actually, before we do that, let's parent the movie comp to the null. And that way, it will shake, just like that. Hit U here. And So we've turned it from zero up to a little higher, and then come forward a bit, and we'll turn them both down to zero. And that way it just shakes for a minute, you know, less than a minute, and then it kind of stops. So I'm going to turn that down to maybe 50 and 45. So not too much, but enough. And then the edges get a little black. So again, we're going to use a motion tile to extend the edges, and we'll mirror the edges and just turn the value of the output width and height up. And finally, a nice orange solid. I said orange, something like that. And what we're going to do is move it to that point right when it hits and line it up and hit T, set the opacity and move forward a little bit and then turn it down. And that's just going to create a quick flash, and then just set the transfer mode F4 to add. And that way it's a nice bright, doesn't have to be that bright. And maybe even add a mask to it so it kind of centers around that, and then feather it F so that it glows right around that area. Maybe we can turn the opacity back up. Bam, Angry Monsters 2. Not too bad. One thing I did in the early example was I rotated the bars so that, you know, it just looked a little offset. Gave it the impression that the angry monsters were a little more angry. Here they're not as angry, but, you know, just rotate that comp, maybe with a null object, and that's a, you know, one thing you can do. The other thing is maybe adding a little bit of twitch, which is our plugin, to give it a little bit more, you know, life during the still part, so it's not just static. Maybe add an adjustment layer, and we have a plugin called Twitch. It's only $45, not too bad, and you can, you know, quickly add some cool flashing. So we'll just pick this orange color shift, for example, and that, you know, creates a little bit of a, you know, wild movement. Maybe get rid of the slide so it's not as intense, but just kind of a nice glowy effect. Makes those monsters, you know, look really, really mad about something. And then also even turning on the depth of field isn't a bad idea, so that when the animation moves on, the layers kind of blur out, or even the motion blur for that matter. So just turn on those switches and turn the depth of field on for the camera. So anyway, this is probably turning out to be the longest tutorial ever. And had a few stories, wasted a little bit of your time, but hopefully you guys learned a little bit of stuff. As always, be sure to check out the website frequently. It's great to have you guys. We have the forum and the blog, and you know, there's just a lot of collaboration going on there. You know, it's awesome. I'm thrilled to be a part of that whole group. We definitely value your support and checking out our great products, and you know, getting some cool tools that are going to help you is something that will actually help us keep doing it and keep making cool tutorials and content. So I am Andrew Kramer for VideoCopilot.net, and we will see you next time. Now, just a quick aside. Occasionally I'll see a comment or someone will send me an email, and this is, you know, there's very, very occasionally, you know, maybe like 50 a day, and people will just say, hey, you know, I watched your tutorial, really good information, but you know, we're talking about golf or this, and you really wasted a lot of my time. And I can understand how you feel, and really, I have really no sympathy. And I'll tell you why. Because I have a wife, and can you imagine how many of the stories that she has to go through just to get a straight answer from me? It's ridiculous. She, you know, she'll say, hey, Andrew, did you take out the trash? I said, interesting question, Trisha. Let me tell you what happened today. And it goes on 45 minutes. By that time, you know, the trash truck has already come, and it's been a whole waste of her time and my time, because I have to make up this story so she'll forget, you know, what I didn't do. Which brings me back to the people who, you know, don't like hearing long stories. No, I'm kidding. You know, I understand. I totally understand that point of view, and sometimes I just get a little carried away.